Ladies, gents, fellow degenerates, welcome back to the Mini Tour Saga podcast. We are on site this week. The Epson Tour has officially started. I almost forgot to release this week's podcast until I remembered the guest. The Allie White is arguably the most positive person I've ever met. And somehow we have to get Lorena Ochoa involved and have her listen to this podcast because I think I found Lorena's biggest fan in Allie White. But come sit back, relax, and enjoy the Allie White. Make sure you follow us on the Epson Tours website. Season has officially started. The Allie White.
What's good?
What's up, buddy?
You know, just is my connection good? Can you hear me all solid and all that?
Oh, everything's great. We're just rolling right into it because I don't like to spend the time editing, so I just let people hear the whole thing.
Yeah, let's get after it then. Like, what do you want to talk to about first? Like, religion? You want to go politics? Let's just go.
Well, if we talk politics, I'd probably get canceled, so we'll leave that one out. If we talked religion, that would also be confusing for a lot of my followers. So we could probably stick to golf.
All right, cool. I didn't know how heavy you wanted to hit tonight. Yeah, I would like to say, you know, sometimes I'm an out loud processor thinker.
Oh, that's what we love.
Right? Like, and sometimes in that process, I come to some bad conclusions, but I'll get eventually to a good place. So
I'm here for it. We can talk about whatever. Common themes on my podcast have been Decatur, Harris, a little bit of Mexico. Like, we're just all over the place.
Yeah.
If you went to Mexico, you know, right?
No, so that was the year before me was Mexico, but I've heard about it many times.
So what was your rookie year?
2013.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're climbing up the longevity ladder as well there, buddy.
I'm not the youngest doe out there.
No, we are not by a long shot.
Last year, I'm standing in line to get some food out in Tucson at the golf shop, and this lady behind me is like, oh, how long you been on tour? And I'm like, oh, you know, like 8 years. 8 years? Kind of hanging up, and I'm like, geez, like, you know, I went into my whole speech, well, for men, the average age of best years, age 35, and I'm only 31. Back off.
Okay? Yeah. I'm going to start lying about how long I've been on tour more than I lie about my age. I think that's 100% where I'm going to go.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, what is your off season? Yeah. What are you doing? Are you like just over it? I'm so over it.
It was a really different off season for me.
Yeah,
than I've had
about it. Past year.
Well, you know, I was really grinding during the season. I had one of my better seasons.
You were a putting fiend this year. I played with you a couple times. I was like, holy shit.
Thanks. Thank you for reminding me of that. So I like barely missed going to stage three, and I'm like, I wanted to make it. So I was like, all right, buckle up your shoes. Like, here we go to stage two. And I barely made it through that. And then stage three is in December, which is way later than ever before. And then I was like, well, fuck it. I'll go to Europe and do that qualifier too. So yeah, I played golf until like December 22nd. And
oh, you're exhausted.
I really exhausted myself. It was a lot of interesting decisions. And I you're going to love this because I started the week and I looked at the sheet. I was like, where's D? Like, she should be here. And Beham was caddying for me, who had caddied for you. And solid gal. Love me some Beham. Very thoughtful would be my number one word. She's like, oh, D's not into the whole qualify school thing. And I'm like, what? You know, and so then by the time I finished everything, I was like, fuck D. Like, if I had just done the D, I would have saved myself so much time and money, and I'd just be in a way better place right now.
Yeah.
Total qualifying school beatdown. Like, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I was fond of the Q school that was in Daytona.
Yeah.
There was minimal prep involved because I knew those golf courses and it was an hour away from my house. Once it became a 2 week thing, I was like, I don't show up 2 weeks in a row ever. So I'm out. Like, I just, no. And then a caddy for 2 weeks, a hotel for 2 weeks, a rental car for 2 weeks. I was like, I got a house, guys.
Yeah,
I got
and they really slam you if you are that symmetric tour person that has to go to stage two, because unlike the stage one people, you only play two tournaments, but you're charged the same as people that play three tournaments, and it's
it's a
like,
lot.
damn,
It's
it's a lot.
like I probably would have an easier time robbing a bank to try and pay for Q school than I would getting through Q school. And I'm not the
D,
quietest
you
person,
know
so.
that I feel like you are a badass golfer. Like, I definitely feel like you could and would do it given enough, times. But, like, I also get it where you're coming from and, like, totally respect it.
To each
So,
their own, like I
know that I
totally get
feel
it,
that.
but I think it actually, and it's so 50-50 too though, because I think when you can prove yourself throughout the duration of a season, that says a lot, right? To have that consistency and to come inside the top 10, that says a lot. But then at the same time, to be able to perform on just random weeks, like if you start at stage one and you perform for 5 rounds, and then you go to second stage, which I think is just 4 rounds. I'm not sure. Yeah, so then you perform 1 week for four, and then you go to Q series and you perform for 8 rounds. Like
That's something.
that also says a lot. It's just not my kind of golf. And if I've already secured Symmetra status, I'm like, yeah, we'll just, it's not like I haven't been out there before. So we'll just go that route.
Yeah, like I totally get it. Yeah, the people, it's to me, the people, like, we had people on our Symmetra tour that finished like 11th and 12th and 13th and didn't get through Q school, where there are people that were more back towards me that were like 40th on the money list and made it through Q school. And that's like the one for me that's like, man, that's got to be hard for those people to swallow, to know that they like kick these other people's asses all year long.
Yeah,
That's
it's just
just
hard in
rough.
general because doesn't second stage come like the week after the tour championship?
They gave us a little break this year.
So it was like
I
we
think
went
it was
four
a
weeks.
week.
Yeah, so you go
Yeah.
4 weeks in a row, which those 4 weeks were not easy travel weeks.
No,
Then you
that was a
get
tough finish to the season.
barely a week off. So the West Coast girls are probably not going home. So they're still on the road even for the off week. And then you just dive right into Q2 and you're trying to erase all the demons you just had the last 4 weeks because this one counts even harder. It's just that's a mental grind that I don't think the best sports psychologist in the world could prep you for. Like that's just hard.
It's something. Somebody does it though, somebody does it, but
Oh, there's always one, Allie. There's always one.
there's always
There's
one. But
always one. So, how was
yeah,
Europe? How was that? Where were you in Europe?
well, I had kind of always I'd never tried that before, and I love a good adventure. Like, when I was a
Yes.
kid, I used to dream about adventuring. Like, my dad would tell all these crazy stories, and I was like, I gotta do that. I gotta go be wild, so I
Yes.
was like, yeah, I know I'm not getting any younger, and I don't know if I'm necessarily like gonna be the 40-year-old golfer. Like,
Like
I
me, but
did
yeah.
I listened. I was listening to your podcast the other day, the Monday one, and I was like, yep, I totally. Rachel Rohanna's like that too. She's like, oh yeah, I'm never hanging it up ever. And I'm like, I respect that. Like, but
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I gotta burn as bright as I can, right now. And so I was like, I've always wanted to go to some of these places. And I think they're playing, their first week starts in Kenya in 7 days.
That's
And
crazy.
I was
Africa?
yeah, I'm 25th on the alternate list, so I don't have to worry about getting my malaria shots and stuff
That would
for
be a rough
that,
go for
but
a last minute flight, huh? Like,
oh yeah, it was enough for just going to Spain was with all the COVID protocols and stuff, it was a big learning curve. And what amazes me, is I sprung this idea playing a Monday qualifier in November. I was hanging out with some people that were like gonna do it. And the one was Sophie Hausman. So she had flown back to Germany, flown back to America to play in this, and then flying back to Spain and
what?
doing all this in a month. And they do that shit all the time, like those European people did.
No. You get me on a plane, even to go to where did we go? Idaho. I needed like 3 days when I got there. I was like, I feel like a different world. I need to get acclimated to the time. I need to get acclimated to the altitude, the climate. I did this hop in the pond. I'm very content being in the United States.
I
4 hour
mean,
plane rides are not. Nope.
once I get there, it's cool, but yeah, I used to love the traveling aspect of it more. I literally just spent the other night, Friday night, I got stuck at the Baltimore airport all night. And
Ooh.
after a few bad things happen to you traveling, you're like, "Ooh, this isn't as dreamy as I remember thinking
It's
it
exhausting, right? It's no longer about golf. Like you almost get to the golf course and you're like, "Holy shit, I can finally relax." It's everything
Yeah,
else is like
absolutely.
so stressful and oh.
Absolutely. Like triple double checking, like, did I get the right COVID test? Am I in the right country? Is my QR code right?
Did I
I
get the
think
international plan on my cell phone? What if I didn't get the
Right. And I think that European people, maybe this is a generalization because I'm sure there's a lot of Americans that are savvy travelers, but they just are forced to be a little better at that because they've done it so much more. And I think you'd
Yeah.
probably get better at it as you went,
Yeah, we're learning. I mean, we're going to be crisscrossing the United States this year, so TSA pre-check is going to be a must-have.
Yeah.
We're going to be zipping
God.
around like where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? It's going to be a time. It was one of the years I was on LPGA and I just happened to connect into LAX like every single week that I'd flown. And going up to the Delta Sky Club and walking up to the bartender, by the fourth week, the bartender looked at me and she was like, "Back again?" And I was like, "All right, we need a different connecting airport. I can't."
That's hysterical.
I mean, that's a great bartender, A. That's a phenomenal bartender. She knew my order, and I was like, "I've only been here 4 times." So that
That's
was,
amazing,
yeah,
D.
but that she
Like
recognized
you
me.
said though, people remember your for the first time you meet D, you don't forget it.
Do you have a first time I met D story?
No.
Yeah, that's all right. So,
I just witnessed you from afar. Way before I got to know you.
you probably had headphones in and still heard me.
I was probably in my little buddy world, and I don't know. It took us way too long to get to be friends, in my
Yes.
opinion.
It does.
Yeah.
And it's probably because like it was like my sixth year and I was probably very defeated with the fact that I was back for my sixth year. But now we're like starting year 12, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, like we're here. Like
Yeah.
it's my seventh year of my senior year.
Well,
We're fine.
honestly, we're fine.
Yeah,
We're
we're fine.
fine.
It's still golf, right? You're still maybe getting paid to play golf.
Still golf, you still might get in, I didn't do it last year 'cause I was so in the grind of I didn't go play like the two LPGA ones I could have. And
Yeah.
like retrospectively, I'm like, "Ah, fuck it. This year I'm going."
So I did it a few years ago. Remember when we would always have that like 9 week stretch in the middle of the summer? We would just go like hard. It was like 8 or 9 weeks in a row, whatever it was. Well, our off week was the week of Green Bay for LPGA.
Yep,
So
I was there.
I decided to go to that, and that was 10 weeks in a row. And on
Thursday morning, I realized that 9.5 weeks is my breaking point. But that was like 3 or 4 years ago. So I think that like 6 weeks in a row might be my breaking point now. But I could be wrong. We'll find out this year, I guess. I don't think we have a big stretch.
I'm like down to 4.
What did you just say?
Interesting. No, I said 6 weeks might be like the extent of my consecutive weeks now, but we'll find out this year, I guess. I don't know. I don't think we have a long, long stretch. I think they broke it up, so we're playing like 3 or 4 weeks max in a row.
You know, the stretches look way better this year to me.
Minus that whole crisscross thing. Minus that whole like West Coast, East Coast, West Coast, East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah. But no, I remember that exact stretch you're talking about, and it was a lot.
Yeah.
It was growth.
You learn a lot about yourself and sleep deprivation going 9 weeks in a row.
Just like definitely feel a little more machine-like, you know, out there.
Yeah, you get lost. I can't tell you how many times I've woken up in host housing and I genuinely had to think of where I was. Have you had that where you just like you woke
absolutely.
Up?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And actually, tell me. Well, I get. You ever heard of sleep paralysis?
No.
I'm about this because people that get it like know, and it's probably I think it's like maybe 10-15% of people have had it at least at some point. But it's like your body like gets stuck and your mind wakes up. It's really strange feeling. It's like you kind of come out of the dream world. It's awful. You're like you slowly realize that you're not dreaming, and then you slowly kind of realize that you're in a room. But yes, I've had that in a combination of like having no idea where I am and not being able to move.
Yeah.
And it's miserable.
Yeah.
Those of you out there that have had it, you know what I'm talking about.
If you know,
you know how awful it is. Yeah. It's real bad.
Right.
Yeah.
So interestingly enough, I'm gonna bring it up because this I feel like this is super dope. But I've witnessed one of your biggest golf accomplishments.
Yes,
your first hole in one.
First and only so far.
First and only so far. I'd love to hear it. Love to hear it on my home course.
Yeah,
mine and Vicky's. I'm gonna share it with Vicky. It's actually probably more of her home course than it is mine. But I'm here now too.
Yeah, so for those of you that haven't heard about this wonderful moment in the history of golf,
I'll be posting this video on the Instagram because it's pure gold.
Oh heck yeah! So Vicky and I have challenged Robbie and Dee. We're going like Italy versus America, because Dee's kind of Italian, and so gosh, you guys ended up beating us, I think, and sadly enough. But
even
with the hole in one, and I chipped in for birdie, and later playing you, I chipped in for eagle that day. I was like on.
That's the Q school week. You need that to show up for the Q school.
I know, right? And so, like, for years, I've been walking, probably since college, I've walked up to maybe 25-50% of the par threes I play. And I think, like, maybe this is the one. And I kind of, like, look at the hole, and I'm like, yeah, this could be the hole in one. I've hit so many that I've been like, yes, that's going to be it. So, but this particular one, I'm lucky enough to be, like, playing with my friends and not in a tournament.
Yeah.
Even though that'd be cool in another regard. But, like, yeah, I hit it and it felt great. So obviously, you know, I might as well throw it out there. I just yelled out, "That's in the hole." And Robbie, she like kind of under her breath, she's like, "No, it's not. It's to the right." And like it lands a yard right and then spins left into the hole. And I just lose it. And as you'll see in the video, I just totally lose it. Just, so
it was like $1.75, was it not? Like, it was a decent 173. Number.
173, yeah. Little bit of wind up there. Not really sure what it's doing. I hit a really good 5-iron. I just nutted it. Everything went right. I later hit that ball into the water playing you because I didn't even think about it. I didn't go tell the clubhouse or anything. I'm going to go buy a t-shirt the next time I come down there, though.
Come on. We just got a new clubhouse. We got plenty of t-shirts. But have the t-shirts? The best Hell part yeah. of this hole-in-one is what you don't recognize. Allie got so excited that you literally jogged the 173 yards to the hole.
You thought I was jogging? That was as fast as I can go, dude.
It looked effortless, Allie. It looked purely effortless.
Oh yeah, I make running look effortless, like nobody you know.
I love it. You were jogging the whole way. I was like, oh my god, if I did that, I'd have to stop at the ladies' tees and take a little break.
You were super gracious that day to provide the alcohol afterwards.
Oh, we had to. And yeah, I mean, what did you guys go through? Like 6 total? Oh. I think I went through 6 on the back 9.
It was my responsibility, but you covered my ass, you know?
Yeah, I got you. Well, your bar tab wasn't going to be that big with Vicky, Robbie, and me. Well, it would have been big with me, but I got you covered. That's the beauty of having my house right at the turn, swing in, grab a couple, and go back.
True sportsmanship. I'm coming down in a couple weeks, so I'm going to call you and rematch. All right.
Well, Robbie actually is going to love the rematch because yesterday, Vicky, Robbie, Nanette, and myself had a match.
Oh my gosh. I'm so jealous.
And I don't know who made the teams, but someone put me and Vicky together. And I was like, you guys are ridiculous. Like, we've grown up on this course for 20 years. Like, you have no chance.
Did you just crush them?
We did. We smoked them on the front. We pushed the back and we won the total. So
that's what I'm talking about.
It was a good day.
God, that is a foursome that I really love.
So you're gonna need to come down. Yeah. And we'll have to have a rematch. And I'm ready to see the fire in Robbie's eyes again because boy, she is competitive. I love it. I looked at Vicky on the first tee. I was like, you just play solid the first 8 holes. I'll do the trash talking, and I should warm up around 8 or 9, and we'll be good to go. She did. She held it. She held it down for the team. It was awesome.
That's perfect. That's so good.
It was the first time since Sunday in Daytona that I've played with professional golfers.
Really?
I've spent my whole off season playing with members at the clubs, and I think the best handicap that we got out there is like maybe a 13 that in the groups that I play with. So we get to the first hole and everyone's like just slinging darts. And I was like, this is very, very different to watch than what I'm used to seeing on the golf course. So it took me a very long time to get warmed up. I was like, wow, you guys really been practicing. Shit.
That's I just think it's so important to take a break though. For me, I know that different people are different, but like
no, it is,
I got it. When I finished, I just put the clubs in the closet.
See, my problem is when I come home, everybody's so excited that I'm home. And they're like, all right, we're playing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I'm like, shit. All right. So, but then I don't practice. So it's just playing 18 holes. And we get done in 3 hours. And it's pretty much like taking a break, I guess.
See, now, if I were living in Florida, I might have a similar experience. But I'm just an Ohioan, so like you come home in December and everybody's just drinking, you know?
Yeah, you guys are dealing with hardcore seasonal depression.
Like, that's right.
It is a different vibe up there. It was like 73 and sunny today. It was gorgeous.
The new thing on the social media is people posting only 40 more days until spring, in case you needed to hear that.
Yeah.
Like, oh geez, is it really that bad for everybody out there? But yeah, it's been pretty I think it's been a pretty rough winter for a lot of people, so yeah.
All right, so what are maybe there's plural, I don't know, some of your favorite courses that we have played, we do play, like what is your like top, I don't know, 3, 5, 7, 2. I don't care. What are your like? What are your faves?
All right, I'm a weirdo because you're totally gonna disagree with me on a couple of these for sure. You know, because I'm super country and I like I honestly like being out there, right?
Yeah.
Like that kind of does it for me. So
yeah.
So my favorite course anywhere in the whole world that I've ever played. And I've played in Scotland once, which that was a really cool place. But is El Dorado.
Yes. That is such an unpopular opinion. You are the third person to tell me that El Dorado is on their top list. Everybody hates it. I love it.
Right? I just, when I'm playing it, I feel like I'm at my little version of the Masters.
Yes.
You know, I just feel so like I'm a pro. Like I am a pro. I've fucking made it. I am walking down this fairway. And like it's made me very upset before. Like I've thrown my hat down and cursed under my breath and stomped around like an idiot, you know, like,
to see, no offense, but I would love to see you in a fit of rage, just chuck your hat on the ground.
It doesn't happen very often that I get in a fit of rage. Like usually I'm pretty cool, but when it does, I always look back and I'm like, wow. You probably looked like a complete.
Just rip the hat off and like the bun comes with it. Like, is your hat on top of the are you on top of the bun or is your bun through the little hole?
My bun below the hat, so the bun stays fine.
Okay.
I kind of take the hat off. I squish it with my hands and I contort it, and then I like throw it on the ground and make some fit.
Because if your hair was in the little hat hole. That would just be like an asshole move to rip your hat off because now you got to redo your bun, now you just look like a tool, right? Like, okay, so you're good. Yeah,
I mean, my side bun is one of the best things on tour, so I wouldn't want to ruin that just because I'm upset. You know,
I have to agree with you. I love El Dorado, and I've had so many conversations with people that they're like, fuck that course. I hate that place. It's so hard. And I'm like, but if you play well there, it's arguably the most satisfying feeling. I've done it once.
Mm.
But
yes, I shot even this year, which it played a little easier this year. And I really wanted to be under. I was like, golly, you gotta go under here, Allie. Damn it.
There's just some holes where you have to like, what is it? Like 17? Where I'll have like a 50 degree in my hand and I'm like, your margin of error is like 12 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
the first day I ever played it in a tournament, I had, I think 6 birdies, 3 double bogeys and 2 bogeys to shoot a 74.
And probably 19 three putts.
Yeah, probably. Right. Yeah.
Cause if you're not three putting that golf course, you're not human.
Couldn't agree more. I remember Catherine O'Donnell, you know, the when everybody was crazily into Aimpoint, and now everybody does like the half version of Aimpoint.
Yes.
You do the full version still, don't you?
I do Express. I never could do the Aimpoint with the chart. That was like way too much for me.
Well, I remember Catherine going on the greens at El Dorado and doing like the Star Trek sign.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you must hold out the Star Trek sign, dude, and try to read them.
I'm telling you, there are some putts out there when you play, like playing in the pro-am, and you look at the guy and he's like, all right, how far out? And I literally will point to a spot and they're like, there's no way. And I'm like, trust me. And they like just lip out or a little high or a little like, you know, whatever. And they're like, I would like 6-7 feet of break on what, a 15-foot putt. And they're like, I would have never, ever done that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. Welcome to the show. And these aren't even the tournament pins, buddy. Just wait.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the only hole I would change out there is probably 14. I would try to build the green complex just a little different, or make it so that you could lay up so that you had a wedge. So I think that's green is fine if you have a wedge. I don't love it because you're kind of forced to lay back and hit a 5-iron. But
so hear me out on this one.
Hear me out. Or you like it just as it is.
No, I do not. I like the hole as it is. I don't like the tee box we play. So
okay.
Hear me out. what if we played the tee box where mostly everyone's drive is landing at about that cart path? Because okay. now you have 180 into this hole that if you miss it, you're going to be lucky to make par. But if you hit it, you're going to be lucky to two putt for a birdie.
Yeah, that would be better.
That's what I think
currently try to do.
Because what I do on that hole is I literally, this last year, I hit hybrid off the tee. I hit three wood to lay up, and then I hit eight iron on the green.
Yeah, I had a seven. I kept missing the damn green with the seven, and it was bogey every time.
But if you could go for that green and two with an iron, I'm not saying a three wood, but at least if you could lay up with like a seven iron or six iron to give yourself something more feasible to get something with some spin on the green, I think it would be a game changer. Personally.
Do you think you'd ever do that? Do you think you'd ever want to, design a golf course? Redesign a golf course?
So it's on my bucket list. I would love to be a part of the designing process for a golf course, but I think that I would be much better at redesigning because I'm the type of person that like I have to see it to understand it. Like I can't just visually like look at a piece of paper and be like, oh yeah, this. Like I have to physically see it and be like, okay, we should adjust this or like stuff like that. I would love to be a part of that for sure. Anybody out there that's redesigning a golf course,
that could happen. I think that could happen for you someday.
I'm very.
You've played a lot of golf courses.
Yes.
Right, and you've seen a lot of holes, so would be a cool consultant, I think. Right.
Well, it's interesting when you start looking at golf courses because I was always taught when you get to a golf course that you've never played, you get to the green and look backwards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that shows you what your landing areas should be or how you should approach the hole. And I've always done that. That's why I don't particularly take three or four practice rounds. Like usually one's good enough. And then in my head, I have to just maybe go work on a couple shots that I'm going to need. So I enjoy like when there's a blind tee shot, I promise you that there's a tree that you're supposed to aim at or a bunker that you're supposed to go over. Like I just have like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just on the spectrum. I don't know what it is, but I get a kick out of that. And so there's some courses that we play and they put us on a tee box and I'm like, no, like just no.
No. Right.
But you know, it is that, listen, it'd be super dope. If ever given the opportunity, I would jump on it so fast.
I could totally see you doing it and doing it well.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It'd be a fun thing. All right. Other cool places.
Other favorite courses.
Okay, so just like favorite memories for me is I
have
some good memories at Garden City of all places. I've just met like really nice people there.
Yes.
All right. Hear me out here. Hear me out. I know that it's out there. And I've been to the The brewery's great in the middle of town. There's an escape room. I've had two amazing games of kickball. There's a free zoo. I don't know if you've ever hit that up.
And then the oysters, right?
What do they call those? Rocky Mountain oysters?
Have you had the Rocky Mountain oysters, though? I have heard of none of this. I have been to Garden City.
Oh, come on. At the Pro-Am, they have the Rocky Mountain oysters, which are the bull testicles they bring out at the Pro-Am party. I think that was just maybe the first or second year.
I think that was just the first or second year because last year they most certainly promise you
didn't bring the bull testicles.
There were no balls. None. Not a one. Maybe a golf ball.
So just all those memories. So when we go to Garden City this year, you call me because I'm going to show you all the secret gems.
Just
spend a whole day with me there.
I'm very available. Okay. We will play a practice round together. We will go find some bull testicles. Yeah. I'm very available.
It's a good golf.
To me, it's a good golf course. It's just not designed to be played in the wind that it gets.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah.
Like, should there be knee high, like, hay 15 yards off of the fairway when it's blowing 35? Perhaps no.
Every day. Oh.
Literally.
God, were you there that year? Were you there that year? That it was like 90 degrees on Monday, and then by Friday it was like 38.
No, it was Thursday to Friday. It was Thursday to Friday because I played the pro-am in shorts and a polo. And that night after the pro-am, I went to Dick's to go get sweatpants, sweatshirts,
yeah,
and hand warmers. And the Symetra Tour bought out
it was like
every hand warmer in Dick's.
It was early September. It was not supposed to happen.
There was early September. Snow in the forecast. Like, there was snow in the 10-day forecast, I'm pretty sure.
That very early Friday morning, it spit a little bit of something that was not rain.
And I'm learning very quickly, Allie.
Yeah.
I'm not doing well in the cold. And I know that Florida cold is very different than Ohio cold. But we had a couple days last week where it was like a high of 38, 41.
Mm.
And I sat my happy ass in the house and like my bones were hurting. I was like, no way I could go play a golf tournament right now.
Aren't you always super impressed by the old dudes that roll out there no matter what? Because you know that they've played golf a million times before. Like, that's the way I feel about it. I'm like, okay, if nobody's paying me, I'm probably not going out there today. But if you'll pay me, I'll go do it. I'll do my best.
Yeah. Normally used to be my favorite days because no one would be on the course. I'd have the course all to myself. And now I'm like, it's not worth it. I'd rather wait behind a foursome than go play today.
So I will say that I don't like it for fun golf, but like for competitive golf, as long as I'm feeling healthy, if it can be cold and miserable, I always think of that as a good thing.
Yeah, mental advantage. Because then there's schmutz like me that are like, it's too cold. It's why are we here? Why didn't we start the tournament on Monday when it was 80? Strong mental advantage. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I definitely like it when it's not for fun. Because then it's fun. If that makes any sense at all.
Teach their own, man. I'm sunny in 72. That's like my happy place. Sunny in 72.
I think my body feels the best at about 85. If I can get a little sweat going.
The body feels good, but then you got to deal with all the sweat. If I got to carry a club towel and a sweat towel, that's just a lot of work. That's just a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So El Dorado. Garden City. What's that course called? Buffalo Dunes. Yeah, there you go.
Buffalo Dunes.
Mystic Creek, Buffalo Dunes. What else you got?
Oh, great question, D. Those two pop out at me. Quality golf course wise. I mean, I do enjoy Battle Creek as a track.
Yes, I do too. It's like old school private club.
Midwest, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every
it makes you really
right
place
there.
The ball.
You don't have to walk far. I like that.
Yeah. I always used to play pretty well when we used to play at Blackthorn up in Indiana.
Yep. South Bend, the previous South Bend course.
Yeah. Had a couple good showings there. It's a big piece of land.
A lot of
pretty
walking
out there.
A lot of walking.
Yeah, a lot of walking. Those are the ones coming to my mind right now, you know?
Yeah. I agree. Minus the Blackthorn. I wasn't really a fan of the Blackthorn.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was one of those courses that just never, like, I never was very comfortable over a shot. Mm-hmm. It always, you know what I mean? Like, but pretty golf course, don't get me wrong. Like, would love to just go play it. But, like, tournament golf where you got to start placing it and, you know, putting it where you need to put it, it was just a quirky golf course for my eye. But it was always in great
shape. Yeah, long – I think, is it Aliqua? Aliqua stresses me out a little bit like that.
Yeah, Aliqua makes me feel, like, Tiger Woods 2008 on the PlayStation 2, you know, when you were getting ready to hit a shot and like the controller would start vibrating. Like, that's me on every tee shot on that golf course, because I can never hit driver. I'm like, I do not thrive with this 3-wood, y'all. Can we just like push it back another? Oh, no, there's no other tee box. Okay. Yeah. Alec was, that's a tough one. I love the greens, though. If someone could put me in regulation on the greens, I think I'd be okay. It's just kidding there. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, it's as you keep playing golf and getting older, you got to deal with all your memories.
Right?
I don't know if you have had that experience.
I have.
Of like, you know what I mean? Of traumatic past experience.
Did you ever play? Oh yeah, you had to. And if you were 13, the previous course we played in Albany, Capitol Hill.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So that 18th hole, that par 3, 1 year.
Oh yeah.
I think I had a 1 or 2 shot lead on Sunday going into 18.
Oh.
And it was a 7-iron, and I put it, I don't know, 30 feet short, like 2 inches on the fringe. Right.
Okay.
Not just 2-putt. And, you know, the person in second place had to make her 15 footer to tie me. Right. So statistically, what's going to happen?
You got this all day.
Well, from the fringe, I 4-wiggled to lose by 1. So it took me probably at least a year to be able to comfortably hit a lag putt again. So I understand completely what you say with the memories.
So what do you think the key to being all right is? Like, yeah, because obviously, like, what, Phil, just this past year, that was amazing, that old fart.
Yeah.
What do you think the key is to golfing with memories? The key to golfing with memories. What do you think?
You have to have a short-term memory. You have to. Right? Who? I think it was Tiger. He said – maybe it wasn't Tiger. It was someone. And he said that – when he hits a bad shot or has a bad outcome, whatever, he gives himself 10 steps. And after those 10 steps, he literally walks left, right, left, right. And after those 10 steps, that memory, like, it's gone. It's done. So you can curse. You can be pissy. You can, you know, squeeze your golf ball really hard, rip your glove. I don't care what you do, but you have 10 steps to do it. And then once you hit your 11th step, it's done. And that's very difficult to do. However, I think that's the key.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely ideal.
Right? I don't know. I have no, trust me, if I could figure it out, if I would have figured it out by now, I think we'd be having a very different conversation.
You and me.
You know? And but I think that's why we're stupid and we love the game, is because you can't figure it out.
Well, I was thinking about that as I think that's a that's part of like the, you know, the courage part of golf to me is like, you know, to just keep doing it even after having bad experiences.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
to just get up and do it again, you know?
There's a time and a like, we're all good enough golfers. Like, there's a time and a place you go for it. Like, I get that. But, and I think one of the, you know, Mission Hills, the Mission Hills course we play now in, mm-hmm. in just north of, okay. So the 17th hole, I don't know if you remember it, the par 5.
Yeah, it's a real tricky hole.
Yeah, right. So yeah. they had moved us up a tee box.
Yep.
I guess it was Saturday maybe. And I had a 6-iron in my hand. And I'm pretty sure I could go like eagle birdie and still not make the cut, because I was captain 3-wiggle that week, along with horrible ball striking and severe COPD walking up with some of those hills. But I had the 6-iron in my hand and I was like, this is stupid. But at the same time, I was like, it's not stupid. Even if you miss the cut, to know that you can hit the shot, like, just do, like, what's the worst that's going to happen? You made an 8 on a hole without any water. Like, just go for it. And I put it to like 6 or 7 feet. And it's kind of like, it's those moments where you're like, yeah, you just got it. Like, you just have to keep trying. Like, you just go for it.
Yeah. Not to be like all in love with Phil right now, but
that's okay. I support it. He's got great calves.
Yeah, great calves, great smile. His thumbs up. Can anybody give a thumbs up like him?
No, but there's no chance.
No, not yeah. But I think you know, he just has fun trying shots, and like I can relate to that a little bit because a lot of times I'll look at a shot and be like, that just looks really fun. And like, it's yes. Sometimes it's hard when you're playing competitive golf to check yourself and be like, yes, that looks like the fun thing to do. And that's kind of what my heart wants to do. I want to try to rope one around. I want to try to hit this 20% chance shot, but like, I just can't right now. And that's why I love scrambles so much. Cause you always just get to freaking go for it.
Yes, and every single time you pull it off, and then you get to the tournament, you're like, well, I did it in the pro-am.
Yeah.
And then you definitely don't do it in the tournament. So did you ever play the one we had just outside of Boston?
Boston. Was it the beef?
No, that was New Hampshire. Brockton.
Oh, Brockton, the Thorny Lee. Thorny Lee.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so I do not know how to hit a high draw with my driver on purpose.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just kind of shows up. I didn't mean to do it. I missed it, but maybe it worked out. Maybe it didn't. I don't know. So I don't know if you remember the 18th hole. It was a very severe dogleg left. And my options were to basically play a hybrid out to 90 degrees out and then have like a 7-iron in. And I was like, that's stupid. Like, I hate, like, I should have a wedge in this hole. It was like 380. Like, I should totally have a wedge in this hole. So on the practice round, or the pro-am, one of the two, I literally laid my driver open and took it over the trees and just hit this big, high, nasty cut and had like a sand wedge in. And the guys looked at me and they were like, are you going to do that in the tournament? I'm like, you better believe I'm going to do it in the tournament. So we get whatever day it was. I get to the very, very, very far right side of the tee box. Like Hideki style a couple weeks ago when he won that tournament. Did you see where he lined up his ball?
No.
Okay, look it up. It's actually pretty cool. He did it to hit a draw, which I would have broke the tee marker. But I did it to hit a cut. And the girls, you know, you always put your bag on the right side of the tee box. And I looked at the girls. I was like, I kind of need you to move. And they were like, they kind of looked at me like, where is she going with this? And I hit it just right over the tree. And they just kind of looked at me like, well, how do you, what? I was like, that's all I see. That's literally all I see. Like, my eyes do not see a draw anywhere ever. And I just rolled with it. And that's, if it would have clipped the tree, I would have had like 210 into the green, but it didn't. So we're fine. But
we're fine. I think that's the big separator in golf. It's pretty easy to see of like, can you do it under pressure? You know? Cause it is just, there are a lot of people that are really good at golf until it's really pressure time.
Correct. It's hard.
I've blown it under pressure. I've had some times where I came through. No doubt about it.
Absolutely.
But I've also had some times where I've totally blown it. Like for me, you were awesome in Daytona. We played together in a couple rounds, right?
We did.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, oh, I was like fourth or something going into, or I mean, maybe tied for third going into the final round. And I'd been hanging in first and second the whole first two rounds, you know? Yeah. And that was a hell of a contest because I ended up playing 24 holes on the second to last day, and then 25 holes on the last day, I think. Something like that. It was a lot. But I had been playing great, and then that pressure sunk in, and it is a it is a different bear, even when you are playing great. Like, even when you are striking the ball and you are putting well, to keep it going. And, yeah, I guess it's just, you know, you got to get used to it a little bit and figure it out.
It's crazy to me, like, when you look at people like Tiger Woods or, I mean, anyone who's had just, like, an obscene amount of success, and you look at the things that they were accomplishing, like, however many cuts in a row he made. It's like, that's disgusting. However many weeks in a row he was world number one. Who was it last year? One of the LPGA gals. She went how many rounds without missing a green? Or how many holes? They said it was like 63 holes or something. Something just absolutely outrageous. Like, if I hit 12 greens in a round, I'm ecstatic. Let alone she went like 70 something, whatever it was, and didn't
without missing a green.
And I'm like, that is just absolutely bonkers to me. Like, that is just so good. People don't realize that.
How about what, Lorena, 156 weeks at number one?
That's disgusting.
That's pretty good.
That's insane. I swear. Like, I can't even fathom what 156 weeks is. Like, how many years is that? That's 3 years.
She just over 3 years. If I could meet any golfer and just have a cup of coffee, she'd be the one for me. She'd be my cup
That'd
of coffee
your one?
Golfer.
Okay.
Yeah, if I could sit down and talk to any golfer. Yeah.
That's Lorena. Dope. We might need to make that happen. I don't know how.
You know her?
I've
Somebody's
got
to know her.
Have I you? Bet you.
I've never
I bet
met
you.
Her. I always talk to the Mexicans on tour, you know? I'm like, hey, do you guys know Lorena? And they're like, yeah, we know her. I'm like, I'm a big fan. Her? Can you hook me up? I'm a fan girl.
All right. So this is a valid question. Geez. Like, everyone gets asked their dream foursome. Do you have a dream foursome? Or like maybe three other people and you're the fourth. I don't really know how. I mean, like, pro-am style dream foursome. I mean, Lorena's obviously in. So you got Lorena.
I don't know if I have a good answer.
That's fair. I mean, people ask it all the time.
Of like other,
just anyone.
Maybe of like other famous golfers, if first to go out with, because like
answer, which would be like my mom and dad and my best friend.
You know what I mean? Because that would probably be the truth, right? Like, maybe not. Yeah, maybe not my mom and dad. But maybe like separately with my mom, and
maybe like with front my dad. Nine with mom, back nine with dad,
right?
Yeah. No, I totally get it.
And got like with dad got my hole in one. That was a dreamy four. My college buddies, man, hard to beat those guys. So yeah, I'm totally.
Miss people.
I mean, Lorena's where who. I'm not sure. I mean,
I just love watching him walk.
Oh, there his you
little,
go.
You know, the way his little body,
little strut,
the way he kind of bops around. Yeah, he's just got this little strut for me. Lee Westwood and his wife too. If she could be caddying, and he could be there, I'd be really into that. I know there's more awesome. Ladies that I totally dig on. Yeah, there would definitely be more babes in the. It's got to be two ladies and maybe one dude. That would be the right combo for me. But yeah, I'll think more on this. There's so many. I'm a lover, D. So there'd be a lot of people.
I know.
It wouldn't be
are.
A foursome. It would be a.
It'd be a whole tournament.
It would be a 20-some. You know.
Yeah, whole tournament.
That's right. You already said it in one of your other podcasts, but like the best thing golf has given me has been the relationships, you know?
Honestly, Allie, the last 3 years I have realized it the most. And actually when I did a podcast with one of my friends, Meredith Duncan. And she was out there for a few years, like when my rookie year hit, and I actually went back on a YouTube video. I posted it to Twitter, but she was walking through the Harris Casino while like an 8 o'clock shotgun was getting ready to go out for a practice round. And it was piss pouring, and it had been pouring for literally an entire day. And she gets me on video, and I was one of those rookies that was like, I got to go see the course. I got to go play. I got to play every single chance I get. I got to go. Right. And now I'm like, maybe I'll play nine, or like maybe I'll play right? four. And then if no one's on seven, I'll just cut across the seven, play eight. You know, like, and and I guess that's the beauty of like playing the courses so many times that now you don't feel compelled to have to go play an 18 hole practice round. Right. Like you can just go play nine and enjoy yourself and get sufficient practice in just by playing nine holes. But when you get to the LPGA and you haven't seen the courses, or we get new courses on our now Epson tour. You feel so compelled to go play these, to go play all these holes. And I mean, that was me 10 years ago. And I look at me now and I'm like, yeah, no, like I'm now the person staring down everybody like, why are you guys here? Like, what are you guys doing?
I'm totally team nine hole.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's just like a physical thing these days. Like, I just feel like I need to nap more than ever.
The beauty of it back in the day was getting the golf carts for the practice rounds.
Yeah, that was different.
Because you saved so much energy. Because for people who don't have a caddy, right? Like, I don't normally have a caddy. I feel like you sometimes have a caddy, but like they show up like Thursday.
My caddies always roll in for the real deal, pretty much.
Yeah. So
they're like, Tuesday, practice rounds practice on your own.
Yeah, you're on your own. So you're carrying the bag, you're hoofing it. You get in the middle of summer, it's 100 degrees, you're going up and down hills, plus you're swinging, plus you're hitting extra chips, extra putts, extra whatever. I mean, it's an exhausting day. I mean, there's plenty of days I've looked down at my watch and I'm like, I'm already at 20,000 steps and I have six holes to play.
You know? And maybe I'd be more keen to do it if I'm – at least last year I was 95% of the pro-ams.
Yes.
I think the only pro-am I missed was like the one I was like, hey, I need a break.
Yeah.
I love being in the pro-ams because you get to see the course closer to when it happens and you get to ride so that you don't feel too bad just playing nine for your practice round because you're going to go play it all again anyway.
And I love the pro-ams because I love busting the balls of the guys that I'm playing with.
Absolutely.
That's my favorite part. And I hope that – I don't think that I've offended anyone yet. But that's my favorite part of the pro-ams. I'm like, this is just like a fun scramble day. Like, let's just have a time.
Yeah.
I love pro-ams. Love them all.
I love the pro-ams too.
Right? Like, I'm like, oh, I'm in this pro-am, 18 holes with a cart. I was like, yeah, maybe we don't. Maybe we sleep that day. But then I'm such a golf nut at the same time. I'm like, I just want to play golf every day. Like, just
the only way I could love them more was if I got like a little closest to the pin contest going.
Well, let's do it this year.
Like, I just for some little prize.
We should do it this year.
Like, do it amongst players. Even if the tour doesn't want us to do it, like, we could at least have like a little contest.
We could just totally so that I could do it
like, even if I'm not going to win a prize, and like at least, or maybe we could win a coffee or something, like just if so you can feel good about yourself, you know.
If we got 20 girls involved that were going to play in the pro-ams, and everyone put in
$1, I'd go buy a coffee.
Oh God, you're thinking on small scale. I was like, all right, if everyone puts in $20, that's $200. Okay. There's four par threes, so closest to the pins could be $50 a pop. You could win $30.
$10. 200 people, $10.
$10. You could win $40.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm saying we could make all of this happen. I'm sure that I could. I know Brittany Yada's in. I know Sarah White's in. I know I'm in. So that's three.
It's not like it's a big dream of mine. This is a small dream, D.
Oh, well, you let me know what your bigger dreams are, Allie. I'll make the bigger ones come.
This isn't like Dancing with Adele at the ball. You know what I mean? This is just like I want a little coffee to go with my pro.
Listen, I'm always down for some side action on the golf course. If you ever want, you let me know.
Oh, man. I love, yeah. Well, you know, you and I do birdie bets a lot.
Yeah, I love birdie bets. Keen. Yeah. Especially when someone drops in and you, so, like a 40-footer or something, and you're like, awesome. Awesome.
So I really think that particularly in Garden City, you need to, like, mark a day off for me. But that's probably one of my biggest strengths is, like, mixing in a fun adventure everywhere. So you should find me every now and then because I like to find like obscure stuff.
I'm also
I've done
in
some
for
random
this.
Things.
I'm very much into this. So okay. In my off season, I can't pull it up on my phone now because we're on the call, but I can totally text you the list. But in the off season, between my endless hours scrolling on TikTok, my endless hours watching Netflix, Hulu, HBO, whatever. I've made a little list of not really like big places that I want to go, but just like things that I want to see. And I am very much the person that will travel significantly out of the way on our way to a tournament to just go do it. So you let me know because I'm very available for this.
Text me the list.
I will text me the list. I will absolutely text you the list.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have at least a couple things. Like, yes, I have to see that too. My last date to get to.
Which one?
You go ahead. Go ahead.
No. No,
I've never been to Hawaii. So I'm trying to go play the LPGA qual Monday this year so I can get to Hawaii.
What do we need to do to make that happen?
Yeah.
You've literally been to every 49 states.
So my one buddy doesn't count it because a couple of them I've just driven through, like Delaware. Like I didn't do anything in Delaware, you know, but like
you
it's a really tiny
a
place,
station.
You know,
you might have
I probably had to get gas. Right. But yeah. Yeah. So theoretically like Hawaii is like the last one and we're not doing anything during the qualifier. So I'm like, I gotta go. I gotta do that.
Dude, go.
So
go send it. Go
that's
play
a big
on the
one
Monday.
For me this year.
You could probably get in the Monday if you shot 70.
It's there's I mean, what 15 people there because it's so far away, right?
Unless it's at the other golf course. I don't know which golf course it's at. But okay. If it's at the one what the hell is it called? I know it's it was the Lotte. I don't know if it still is Lotte. But if it
that's your tournament. That's the one that bought you the house, right?
That is the one that bought me the house. That is the one that bought me the house. That was a wicked story. I got host housing through a member at my club who knew someone. And I go stay with them and they're like on the third or fourth hole of the golf course and I'm like, yeah. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. This lady, oh my gosh, she's so sweet. Her name's Amy. She's so sweet. She made me breakfast every morning, right? So the first morning, she made me eggs, fried spam, and macadamia nut pancakes. I was like,
can you just send me there? Can you just send me to her? Send me to sweet Amy.
Right? I was like, wow. So I go out and I play really well. And I walked back and I immediately looked at her and I was like, it was the breakfast. And she goes, I already went to the store and stocked everything up. I was looking at your scores and I'm ready. Because, like, you know, once you play well, you have
awesome.
To do everything the same, right? You have to
That's
do everything.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So we're absolutely what, 6 hours behind over there. So second day, I think I had an afternoon tea time. Well, time change, whatever else. I'm up at like 5 a.m. And I get on my phone and I'm on Zillow and I'm looking. And I text my mom this house. And I was like, please go look at it. The price is perfect. I just want to see, like, you know, is it a train wreck inside? And, you know, I have to dump a bunch of money into it. So she FaceTimes me like 45 minutes later from inside the house. And she's like, look, it's perfect. That it's all tile. You just need some paint. It's perfect. What do I do? What do I do? I think this was Saturday morning. And I was like, fuck it. Put an offer in. I was like, tell them. Just give them an offer, right? What's the worst that can happen? So Sunday I finish. I had like a 19-inch putt to secure my ninth place, which was the longest 19-inch putt that I've ever had in my life. Because it's blowing like 20, 30 miles an hour out there, right? So right edge doesn't really feel like right edge. And it goes in, and it was just like this instant stress relief. Like, it was like every single muscle in my body just finally relaxed. It was the craziest feeling ever. So I call Dad, and I'm like, holy shit. And he's freaking out. And I call Mom, and she's like, oh, my God, great playing. Guess what? I was like, what? She goes, they accepted the offer. So the next day, I look up, and I see how much I made. And I was like, I don't even get to taste any bit of that. It's literally just going right to the house. So that
probably
that was
probably like a meant to be moment, right?
Had to be. Had to be.
Like, you know, the gods up there were like, I'm getting to spend this on things that you might want to spend this on. Like, you are buying.
You
a
do
house.
Not get to go to the casino with $44,000.
Pretty much. You do pretty much what I was saying. Like, we are immediately zapping it from this so that you can have a safe, secure home. Because that's important.
That's 1,000% what happened. But I'll tell you what.
That's
I
beautiful.
Like the richest human on the planet when that check went through. That was That was just a sort. That was just a sequence of numbers that I never thought I was going to see in my bank account. I was very taken.
It's amazing. Like people, I don't even know if people like understand that for a golfer. Like just what one week like that can mean to somebody, you know?
It was crazy. It was such a crazy week. And like, it's those tournaments that I don't know how it is for other people, but like when you play so well and you really get into that zone, like I don't remember much of it at all.
Yeah.
Like one of my friends was there and literally recorded almost every single shot, and I still have them, and I've gone back on them, and I'm like, it's like an out of body experience. I'm like, I don't even remember this at all. Like, I couldn't tell you anything about it. It's crazy.
It's playing good golf. There's nothing like it. Playing, you know.
Have you had the zone? Have you seen the zone?
Oh yeah, I've seen it. Like I probably zone? The last time I probably really got there was playing at the Open qualifier this year, which was pretty crazy because I had the COVID. And I'd been locked up for 10 days in Utah, and my Open qualifier was like the next day. So I flew there and hadn't golfed in 10 days. And it's like spitting 5 degrees, hilly Pennsylvania. And yeah, I went like 5 under, and the next closest person was like 1 under. And I knew it. Like I knew before I even teed it up. I was like, there is a 90% chance that I'm going to kick ass today.
Isn't that silly?
I just had a feeling. Yeah. So it was crazy.
What do you think that is, right? Not playing golf for 10 days, but then there's weeks where we play golf every single day and it's like you can't find it. And then you take 10 days off like that and all of a sudden you go out and you shoot a great, like on a course you've never seen, and you go lights out.
Right. Right.
Like why? I don't understand. I will never get that.
I don't know if it's like expectations or if it's maybe you don't try. You're not as mechanical, because sometimes when you practice so much, you really try to get your technique, and then maybe you kind of go back to how you naturally are as a person. Maybe a combination of that, or maybe like for me, I know that if I play too much golf mentally, I'm not excited about it. And like being focused is huge for me.
Yeah.
Like if I lose focus because I'm not excited to be there, that's tough. And like that's where you got to respect, you know, people that do the same daily grind job, you know, quote unquote regular people. But, you know, they go into that same job day in and day out. You know, I get a break between. And it's still sometimes, I got there not 100% focused. And like, you know, you're a surgeon doing surgery. That's pretty intense, but you're a teacher, right? Like, yeah, just getting excited every day for your job is not easy for anybody.
Yeah.
You know,
Even
with as cool a job as we have,
Yeah, there are some days that that alarm.
So, but being excited is huge for me. So,
well, Allie, I mean, since I've known you, I don't think I've ever had a time that I've come across you and I feel like you weren't excited. I feel like you're arguably the happiest person on tour.
Like a gold, like a little golden lab or something, you know? Like
Uh-oh. He broke up there.
Yeah, I think is that I have friends. So there's I'll go back to Santa wherever I was,
my bad. I'm out in the country right now, but I think the Wi-Fi is pretty good. But
yeah, no.
So I think like for me, whenever we've been hanging in there, right? All right, I'm back in my spot. Yeah. We I really like my friends, right? So whenever people see me, usually I'm smiling because I'm seeing them. You know what I mean?
I love that.
So like if I'm having a hard time, it's probably gonna go away when I see like one of my friends. But you know what I mean? Like I'm just gonna deal with it on my own.
Yeah.
So you probably don't necessarily see the side of me that's like, oh, I'm so bummed right now or whatever. Cause I'm like, usually when I'm seeing, when you're seeing me, I'm seeing you. So I'm happy, you know? If that makes any sense.
That's perfect. I just wish like, and what I've enjoyed about doing this podcast is kind of like picking people's brains a little bit. Because I do feel like we all struggle internally with the same things and we just don't talk about it, right? Like you just said, I'm going to go deal with it on my own. And I'm like,
absolutely.
What if we did talk about it? Like, what if we really just had just this open understanding of being able to go to people and talk to them and have this way of just knowing that it's not just me, right? Like, it's not just me that's struggling with, you know, whatever it is. And I've really enjoyed digging people's brains and coming to this realization that like, I'm not a weirdo for feeling the way that I do when I have a shitty day or when I can't figure something out or when I'm not excited about an event. Like it's not just me. And I love that. Not that I love that people struggle, but I just, I love knowing that I'm not the only one, you know what I mean? Like, I've probably spent 12 years of my career, which is all of it, racking my brain, being so defeated some days. And it's like, there's 50 people that are also defeated today. Like, you're not alone.
Oh, yeah. You're not the only one. I was really fighting just being anxious last year. And I was playing, like, the best golf I'd played. But I was just so anxious that it was like, you know, how do we get this to be fun for you? Yeah, and like you want to do well so bad that you're just making it not fun for yourself.
And I really think talking about it is what makes it better. Like having people that it can acknowledge it with you, I think that's what makes it better is just like saying it out loud.
I'm sure like every different job has its like goods and bads, right? Yeah. And maybe when you're a professional athlete, you're kind of supposed to focus on the goods more because it's a cool job and it's a, you know, it's a fun job, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to like some other jobs that are just kind of tough or whatever. But like it definitely has aspects of things where we need to talk about that are tough. Right. Which I think maybe last year with Simone Biles and Naomi and all the people, Michael Phelps and all that, it was sort of, I think maybe the focus got turned on athletes a little bit of being people are doing okay, you know?
And there was a couple of golfers that came out with it too. And it's like, especially for, I'm going to take a leap here and I'm going to say, especially for women, but I know this happens for men. Like you are only as good as the number you shoot to the majority of the people.
Like you certainly feel that way. Yeah.
Well, that's the first question.
Yeah.
Right. You get to a new event and you meet someone. Oh, how'd you play last week? What'd you shoot?
Right.
And it's like, well, sir, I'm here on Sunday. So you want to talk about it? Cause obviously I missed the cut.
And for me, like the tough one is always like they jump straight to how much money did you make? And you're like, man, nobody else rolls up in their career and is like, hey, I'm a firefighter. And the next question out of somebody's mouth is, how much money are you making? You know?
Right.
It's just sort of like, okay, you get to be a firefighter, you know? And like, yeah, if you don't have 144 golfers at the tournament, or at least 100, right, you don't have a real pro golf event, right? So,
yeah.
So whether I made a bunch of money last week or not, like, I was an important part of this tour, you know?
Yeah.
And I went out there and I did my job, right?
I always feel like the question should be, how do you think you played? Not
I like
how
that.
Did you play,
I like that a
or
lot.
What did you shoot? Like, I've had some really awesome golf days and shot 75.
Yeah.
And I've had some really shitty golf days and shot 67.
Yeah.
I don't, you know what I, like, I that's one thing that always gets under my skin so much that you're just that number. And I'm like, bro, like, there's next week. It's okay. We can shoot 80 every once in a while.
Right. Right. And golf, I think, is a little, it's really cool because anybody can beat anybody on a given day, but that also makes it really tough to explain how you got beat on a given day.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh yeah, I did. I just lost to Joe Schmo because I shot an 80 today. And that happens to me once in a blue moon. I go shoot an 80, you know, and he shot a 75, right?
Yeah.
And I got handily beat by somebody that I'm pretty much usually better than 90% of the time, right? But like, if that's their one memory of you, it's tough. And when you're a pro, people think you're going to be good every single time if they don't really know the game, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And you can even point out, like, look, Tiger had a whole year where he couldn't chip. You know, like he was like one of the best golfers of all time, and he couldn't even chip. Like, that's the game I'm playing, you know, that it can do that to people. And, it's a little tough added pressure. Cause I think, like, if you're a tennis player and you're better, you're pretty much going to win most of the time, like 95% of the time, you know, but it's just not quite like that in golf.
I just heard that there was a 5.5 hour tennis match yesterday.
No kidding.
I don't.
The French Open's over. It couldn't have been
that.
It
was in Australia.
The Australian is what I meant to say. The Australian's over.
So
was it yesterday? It had to be the women.
No, it was Nadal.
It was Nadal. Okay, so that was on Sunday, I think.
Oh, so I don't know what day.
Well,
it
maybe in Australia, Sunday's not Tuesday.
Sunday is Monday here, right? I don't know. Carry the one converted to euros and use the metric system. Yeah, I still don't know. I don't know. But
well, you're probably right. It probably was Rafa and Medvedev, right?
That sounds very familiar based off of what I was told today. But they said it was 5.5 hours of tennis. Could you imagine the entire time that you play a competitive round of golf, you're running, chasing a ball?
Yeah,
running.
No, I played high school tennis, and it usually only lasted an hour. And there's a reason that I'm a golfer, and I played doubles. I was a doubles specialist. So
you only had half the court to worry about.
I only had half the court, and we got those things over because we were bad. And you know, that was that, right?
I love that for you.
Oh, that's, man.
Awesome. Well, I was excited when you said you want to be on my podcast, because I was like, I love me some Allie White.
You were just bundle of joy. I was super grateful. You just keep you've brought a lot of positive things to the tour, a lot of good forces, and just keep doing it.
I'm trying. I'm stupidly infatuated with this game and. I don't know. I just want to see it do some big things. Like, I want women's golf to just blow the fuck up. And I keep racking my brain.
Do you feel like we're on a good track? I feel like something changed. Like, there was like a turn, and I just feel better about it.
I feel like we're getting there. I just wish that we would do something like so outlandish and so different from like just conventional golf that it really just, it like lights a spark. you know, like I wish we just had like this crazy event that no one's ever done and nothing, like I just wish that there was something we could do to really just make waves because, you know, even like women's golf is big in the golf world, but like I want to make it big in the world, not just the golf world, you know, like
they got to put us on real TV. We need real TV.
See, I don't know. I feel like we need like a streaming, like we need more like live chats. We need more like you just really need to get to know the people because I feel like people love seeing professional athletes who are just average people.
Right.
You know, it's
no,
like
I think if they see it, they'll love it. That's what we're missing is the seeing. Like, you know, this year, I think they switched the NCAA softball and baseball. They gave softball more the primetime TV on ESPN. And it had, you know, it followed that it had more viewers. And that was the first time that softball had had more viewers than the baseball World Series. And it was well, the reason they had more viewers is because they had a better TV slot as opposed to the shitty TV slot, right? And, like, even last year at the U.S. Open, the tennis, like, when Djokovic was going for the record, the women's match still – and I don't even remember who was playing, but I think maybe this Canadian chick. But it had more viewers. The women's match did. And it's just, like, if you give women primetime TV coverage, people get into the stories. You know, and you don't need to compare men and women's stuff like from a, you know, like you can appreciate them each separately or, you know, however, but like, if you give somebody good coverage, people are going to watch.
So, all right. Cause I am the outside the box thinker. Like, I don't even know what the box feels like. I've never been in the box. I've always been outside of the box. Do you think
that's really hard? That's all you're blowing my mind right now. I'm just kidding. I'm just being an asshole. Yeah, all right. No, all right. Out of the box. Fine. Come at me.
Okay. Out of the box. Do you think that women's golf would thrive or become more popular if
are you going to say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yes.
Is that what you say? Yes. I've heard this idea before. Didn't mean to steal the words from your mouth, but I'm 100% for it. I so wish they would do it.
Because
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
But if you're getting a golf course for 7 days, you're getting the golf course for all the 7 days. It doesn't matter how they flow, right? So what if I got the golf course on?
What do the members care, right?
I mean, the golf course is the golf course. If anything, I'm going to get done, and you guys are going to have the course on the weekend again. And now all your members are out of work, and now they get to go play the course 2 days after the tournament got done and, you know, whatever. But I will openly admit that I have perused the Golf Channel in the last 3 months. There ain't shit on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday evening.
It is a no-brainer. You know, as a golfer, we don't care what day it is.
And I don't care what day it is. I don't care if it's live or not. You make the final day.
I don't care if it's live or not. Yeah. But
spit me out a 3-hour highlight reel starting at 7:30.
And show more than just one group.
Thank you.
Plus or minus Michelle Wee, whoever you decide's cool that week, you know?
Whatever the featured group is.
Yeah. Show me like 50 golfers. Show me awesome shots because they're happening. And then I won't hear from. Like, oh, you know, women are.
You only watch one group.
When you watch TV, you get to see like six people play golf, you know? Right. And of course, they're going to hit bad shots, you know?
Correct. I love this, by the way. I love that you're in agreement with this. All right. Here's my second idea.
110%. Okay. Yeah. No way. This is terrible. No, I'm just kidding.
I have no idea if this is possible. But I think it is, right? If we can throw rockets up into space, I think we can do this. Okay. So we get the tour sponsored by some sort of Wi-Fi camera. I don't know what that camera is.
Mm.
Okay. And we put this little camera, right, at key parts of different holes. Let's say like 6 holes. So I need 6 cameras. And now we develop an app to where people can go in and just click on that hole and just watch golf.
Just watch the hole.
Right? So you can see all the groups. It might not be the best video yet, but I mean, I feel like everything's in 4K right now. Like my iPhone records solid video, maybe not from a distance, but we could have coverage without necessarily having coverage.
I mean, yeah, I think I know that they're experimenting with different broadcasts at this tournament that they're playing right now, which sounds interesting. Yeah, I think that's great. I think that apparently the whoever's in charge of broadcast now wants to show a lot more players. Like, I think the former person just retired, and now they want to show a lot more. Yeah, whether or not, me too. I mean, I don't think you need any particular. I think you just need a commitment from some sort of broadcast that they're going to show. You know,
not if you develop your own app, is what I'm saying.
Okay, so you're into this app side of the idea,
right? Everyone has an app. Everyone has a smartphone.
Yeah,
and you put this app where people can go to the event and watch, because the Masters does it, and I know the Masters has an obscene amount of money.
But okay,
I know the technology's there because you download the Masters app. You can watch the featured groups, which I get it. That involves a cameraman. You can watch A-Man Corner. You can watch 16 and 17. You can literally watch Masters before the coverage and see things that are going on. Now, there's no one sitting there talking about it. You're literally just watching coverage and listening to birds chirp. But you've never downloaded the Masters app?
No.
Allie, you got to download them. I mean, you can favorite your players. You can trace them around the golf course. It's remarkable
Is sacrilegious, D, but I'm not that into the Masters.
All right. Well, I know. Pretty much the end of our friendship. I'm not going to do it. I just want to see something so crazy that people are like, wow, that's different. I want to watch that. I want to go bet on that.
I think the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday thing is really all they got to do.
I agree. Like, and I mean, if I have to get to
that's another thing that. I mean, that's another thing that tennis has right.
Friday? When would you have to get to a golf course if your tournament starts Monday? Sunday, Saturday, Friday, Thursday?
Which is great. Sunday, Saturday, get there on Thursday. Yeah.
Which is great because Thursdays are cheaper to travel with.
I was going to just say that, easier to travel. But like, think about tennis, which has, in all the majors, they have equal purses with the men. They get to play at the same time, which is a huge advantage. But they also like stagger the coverage, right? So Saturday is women's day, men's day. It's not like they play the men's and women's match at the same time. And then they're like, oh, let's see what people will watch. Right. Yeah. Which is basically what men and women's golf does every week. It's like, let's play at the exact same time and let's see what people pick. Are they going to want to watch Tiger or are they going to want to watch, you know,
Allie White?
Yeah. And
no
it's
offense,
like,
Allie,
well,
but we're watching Tiger.
No offense, but yeah, I'm probably watching Tiger too, right? He's amazing. So, you know, I don't know. Oh, don't you know? I'm pretty cute though.
I think that it would be an interesting move. I don't know that I see the downfall.
But, I love know, it.
We'll leave it
I
up
love
to
it.
The people.
I don't hate the app idea either.
I don't know enough about it, but I think that we have the technology. I mean, I know we don't really necessarily have the money for it, but I think we have the technology.
Yeah.
So who knows? But we'll leave that to the people in charge. We just go chase the little white ball.
Right? Chase the white ball. Keep putting ideas in their ears. Maybe something sinks through.
Well,
right,
Allie, I have enjoyed a wonderful 90 minutes with you.
This was real golf talk right here.
Yeah, this was one of my more serious ones. This is fun for me.
Right? This was heavy-hitting golf talk. I love it. Thank you so much.
No.
I'm literally driving down there in about 17 days, so keep an eye out for me.
Well, you let us know when you're in town, and we'll get a rematch with the Italian Stallions versus the Americans. We'll get
that's
it going.
That's all we got is just the Americans.
Yeah, I mean, the Italians. You can't beat Italian Stallions. Like, nothing even comes close to that.
I know. We're just going to try to keep it close.
Yeah. Well, all right. You drive safe. Hopefully, right. I'll see you within, like, 17 days. And if not, I will see you in Winter Haven.
That sounds fantastic. All right.
All right, buddy. You take care.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Talk to you later.